The group did a beautiful job of tending the circle, the class, over the last 2 weeks. And I'm so grateful for that and grateful for your beautiful participation in tending. It makes a big difference for you, each one of you, for connecting to your own inner power and wisdom to be a participant rather than a passive receiver. What did you notice about it? Does anyone have anything they'd like to say about it?
Sarah, this is
Yes.
Lisa. I felt the circle very powerfully throughout the 2 weeks, just at random times. I could be meditating, and it's almost like we're all sitting together. Or I could be doing something very mundane, and my feet just start pulsating, and the circle comes to mind. So, other than the conscious times that you bless the circle, I definitely felt that throughout the 2 weeks.
So, isn't that interesting? Probably when you were feeling that, someone in the circle was grounding or working with their energy or posting. And just look at how that begins to expand and inspire and stimulate each other when we have that kind of resonance. That to me is magical and beautiful.
It was. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, were you coming on?
Yes, I was saying that I felt very connected to the circle throughout. It also drew me in. So that sense of tending, I felt a level of responsibility, but at the same time, it wasn't anything onerous. It was just more of a commitment to bringing energy to the circle, but it also drew energy from me because I would maybe walking or doing other kind of things naturally some insights would kind of come into my being, and then they would eventually kind of develop and allowed me to then post something on the page.
That's wonderful. So, and especially for you, Mark, to not take that as a heavy responsibility. That
Yes.
was
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
And so imagine if we each even grounded 50 times a day for a second, and how that would spread to being grounded all day long for each one of us. I mean, it just would keep bringing that to our awareness, and then we'd ground. Just would be a beautiful frequency for the circle and for everyone involved. Anyone else? Okay. Let's pause a moment and settle into your sacred space. So there's a few things. We have the Equinox meditation coming up Thursday, and then we have the mini retreat this weekend. And that mini retreat was timed around the Equinox energy. There's going to be a very big shift with this Equinox energy. And right on and around the equinox. It'll feel like you did a right angle, or took a giant step upward, up a step. It's going to bring in tremendous energy that's going to shift our consciousness quite a bit. I can't tell you what it'll do to the planet, to the humanity, everyday culture, but I can tell you what it will be doing for our consciousness. So I do hope you take some time and space to allow the energy to enter your being and support your expansion of consciousness. So Ken and I were away for a little vacation, and I had the opportunity to do some deep connecting within myself on my own path. And it's a little hard to find words for this. So I was shown that I had completed my lifelong purpose. And it's an unusual feeling to know that I've completed this, that whatever I was supposed to do, it's what I came in to do, and it was completed. You might be able to feel that. And it doesn't mean that I'm leaving the planet. It means that I'm moving into a new consciousness. And it doesn't have the same kind of purpose-driven energy. It's much more expansive and no goal orientation in it. It's almost like dessert. It's a very freeing energy. But this also coincides and is part of the process of this training that is starting in April, to be trained to learn how to lead sacred circles. If I had not come to this completion point, I wouldn't be doing this training. And I didn't know that when I set up the training. It felt very scary and courageous for me to set up this training because there were things that I didn't know. I knew that I'd been nudged for the last couple of years to do it, but I just couldn't take the step, and I finally did. And because I did that, it was the signal that I had completed my life's path to date. And this is not just completing a small cycle. I'll be 75 this year. So it's completing this incarnation, the purpose of this incarnation. And so as we move forward, I'll still be teaching and doing everything that we've been doing. The teachings aren't going to change. The frequencies will change, and my relationship to the frequencies will change. But it also opens up this gateway for any of you in this particular group. This is the only group that has this opportunity available to them to take that training. And there is a whole back end to the practice of being able to lead a sacred circle. So it's one of those things where, like a computer, you see what comes up on the screen, but you don't see the back end of it, what enables that to magically show up on a screen. And in this case, the back end has everything to do with how you live your life, how you attune, how you receive the guidance, and are able to, it's not follow the guidance, it is about receiving the guidance and how to, in a very humble way, get out of the way and be able to lead a ceremony. And even if you have no desire to lead a sacred circle ceremony, but want to deepen your understanding of how to create a safe, powerful, transformative circle ceremony, then you can take this training. And I'm not pressuring or trying to seduce anyone into it, but I want to make it available in a very clear way. It's an evolutionary step. What will happen during that training? And so I offer that to you. And if you're thinking of taking it, you also have to take the mini retreat this weekend. And that's important. And I know it's a big time and financial commitment. And you have to ask yourself if this is somehow on your path and be able to listen to the answer without the noise and chaos influencing your voice. Because the whole back end of leading a ceremonial circle is really learning how to not let the noise and chaos influence how you receive the guidance to lead a ceremony. So that's what I'll say about it. You can sit with it. But if you have any inkling of wanting to do it, then you should take the mini retreat this weekend. That's a requirement. And there will be a sense of making ch a choice of a very conscious choice of, do you follow your heart and soul, or are you influenced by everything around you? Because, I, as a ceremonial leader, need to be able to hold that access and grounding and connection to the guidance unwaveringly. And be able to discern when I'm being drawn away from that, and how to return if I do leave it. That's what makes our circle ceremonies so powerful. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay. Then the next thing I'd like to bring up is the ethics document. Did some of you get a chance to read that?
Sarah, this is
Yes, yes,
Susan.
yes.
Okay, we got Susan and who else?
Lisa.
Lisa. Okay, Susan, why don't you go?
Okay. Yes, I read it and it's amazing. It's filled with energy, incredible energy, number one. But the information, there's so much in there that I think I'm going to need to read it about 20 times. And I mean that in a positive way.
I had to write it 20 times.
Well, I'll bet you did. And you know, I kind of giggled. I giggled to myself and I said, I wonder if the Indians had a document. And I just couldn't resist.
They had it through direct knowing.
I know they did, but here after I read it, I went, okay. No, anyway, it's fabulous and it's amazing. And I have only read it once, but I wanted to thank you for taking the time to put it together. It's incredible.
I'm glad you could take it in.
Yeah. I
It
am.
was actually inspired by what you guys did last Monday night in while getting together telepathically, and I'll explain that, but go ahead.
Anyway, I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Lisa.
Yes, I had commented that I just had a series of words. It was just so clear and concise. And oh, I had so many words. I don't know what I wrote, but it just right after I read it, because I have to be honest, when there was another document to read, I went, oh my God. I can't keep up. I'm still working on your one from Abaya, you know, they're deep if you really go through them and you spend time with them. But when I started reading it, it was like food for my soul. It was like adjustments here or there. It was encouraging, sobering, and so real and so refreshing and beautifully written. So I went through it from top to bottom and didn't think twice. It was lovely, absolutely lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Were
Sarah, this is
there?
Trish.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, Trish, nice to have you here. Yeah.
Thank you. So I actually have a couple questions maybe. On this one though, I can't really see it on my phone. My eyes are bad. And I wanted to print it and I could not figure out how to print it. It would not go to the printer. And I don't know if that's because it had a little thing at the top that said AI. Is it be and then it asked me to download something else. And I was going, okay, way too complicated. Trish can't do this. Is there any other way to read that?
So, did it open as a PDF for you? Do you
I
know?
didn't download it as a PDF. I didn't do that one.
Were you able to
I just looked at.
download it as a document, as a Word document?
No, it just kept coming up blank when it went to the printer pages.
No, but I'm saying when you downloaded it to your phone, did
Oh, I
you?
didn't double check. I suppose I could do that too. Okay. Okay. It was just a
So,
technical question. I'm sorry.
So it's a PDF. So you have to, maybe someone else can help with that. I don't know. If
It's okay,
you're,
but it would have been better for me energetically to read it on a piece of paper than via my little teeny tiny phone.
I understand.
You
Yeah, I
can't
wouldn't
really
want to
read
read it. I wouldn't want to read it on a phone either.
I mean, I did read it. I read it to the best of my ability. But so here's my other questions, kind of going back to the previous one. May I say that?
Go ahead.
I don't know if I'm supposed to speak it or not. You
Yeah,
could
go
say
ahead.
that, but
I don't know. Check with yourself.
what I want to know is the Sacred Circle training a bump up from our light journey training?
Oh, years, light years, light years,
Okay. Okay.
light years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I get reluctant to say anything, but I kind of knew you were out of town because I had visitors. And remember how we went to Thailand and we got invited? Kind of had that happen. And now that you're talking about all this, I'm going, oh, because I always have to sit with my guidance. Maybe that was my guides initiating me, sorta. But it was very interesting. Two different shaman-looking people showed up. So I didn't know if that was. I still am sitting with it. I have no idea. I haven't seen those kinds of things in a long time. So I wondered if it was related to don't know, I guess me going forward more.
I
And I
was
don't know how to get that.
right. So, when I received that communication with my guides about being complete, it was Tuesday morning, 2:30 a.m. It was boom. I mean, clearly an end point and a completion. And that meant that this whole group was also going to move, take a step for your own path, because we're connected. And so it makes sense that you felt that. And I truly don't know if that means that you should take the Sacred Circle training. If you asked me, I would love for you to do that. But you have to feel that inside of yourself. And also, I always hesitate to define ourselves as a group. We are a membrane. We are something, fluid. We're not attached as a group in the materialistic sense, but we are like a soul group. And I've been the teacher, and when I completed this path that I completed, it meant that other people could step into the places that I had left. In other words, so it was ready for me to train people to do what I've been doing. Does that make sense? Okay,
I
so.
think I'll probably get more from the weekend and throughout this class as to, I don't know, I'm old. I didn't think I was going to do anything better. Sorry.
Yeah,
It all
so,
just was, it
but
okay.
when the teacher moves forward or expands in a certain way, that it creates a vacuum in a way that the people who are connected in that soul group move to. So it's like a wave that helps each person move in the direction they need to move. But I am now, you could say, guidance certified to teach what I've been leading. So I hope that's
I don't know if that helps
understandable.
anybody else, but it helped me a lot and I appreciate it. Thank you. And also, thank you for your video. I love the video.
Oh, the ones on the page today? Yeah.
All of them.
They were
So
so much
cool.
fun to make. I finally am getting to the point where I can almost get what I see into an image. So
We wish somebody put a plug to us. Yeah, very cool. All right, thank you very much.
you're welcome. Anyone else? Okay. So it was really interesting how the ethics document came about because of the invitation to get together telepathically last Monday night, which was a beautiful inspiration. And so it came about because there was some teaching that needed to be brought through about getting together in this telepathic way. So the first and main teaching is when you're going to get together, whether in person or virtually, let's just say, as a spiritual group, the very first thing you do is ground vertically. You do not orient what I'm going to call horizontally to connect telepathically. The first thing you do is ground and have your axis light up and your toroidal flow moving and shifting and recycling and clearing your energy. It is not a horizontal beaming in. So let's pause there. Any comment on that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you tell the difference between what I'm saying and between the vertical attunement and you're not even thinking of connecting horizontally with the group?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense to me. Because definitely have to be solidly grounding prior to that. I think I had a little bit of a challenge with that myself. Because I was like, exactly, do I just stay in the center? Do I go out? So, I do understand that, and it feels totally right.
Good. So you can feel the difference when you're vertical. You're not reaching your energy out to connect in any way whatsoever. The power of the ceremony comes from each person being grounded in their own axis and circulating the energy from Mother Earth and Father Sun. Then the greater ceremony begins. And it's not because we're mentally reaching towards some kind of center or energetic connection, not even an energetic connection. So I want you to feel the difference. You literally ground and sit in your own axis without even thinking that you're joining a group. This is really, really important because what happens is if your energy is reaching into to connect across space, across time, it becomes an invasion of energy. And it doesn't create a powerful circle, a powerful ceremony. The ceremony occurs because Mother Earth and Father Sun are connected, and a greater consciousness is attained. And that greater consciousness knows how to be in ceremony. So it's beyond how we think about it. It's beyond how we reach our energy out to connect. It has everything to do with simply grounding within yourself. So even if you didn't have this Monday night group and you sit down to ground and do a full grounding where you really have your axis flowing and the field flowing and your roots deep in the earth and the energy rising up to meet Father Sun and creating that sphere of harmony. You will be in ceremony with anyone on any plane that is in that state of consciousness. And you'll also be connected to your higher guidance. So it's not a horizontal connect at all. Someone else say something about this. I want to know if you can feel the difference between reaching with your energy and being able to stay in your own field and connect in your vertical alignment.
Hello, this is Laura.
Okay, Laura.
Thank you. Yes, that can be felt for sure. I was part of the group that met on Monday, and I found myself kind of just being called to the energy of the group at around that time. And then when I was reading the post, I saw that there was a gathering. So I just dropped in and did what we would do typically on a Monday night, which is gather and ground myself. And I could feel, the pulsating energies within me, and it felt definitely coming through me versus spreading out.
Ah, good.
Yeah. And it was notably intense for a period of time, and then it dissipated. So just noting that in myself, like feeling it very intensely and then feeling it not so much. So,
Well, did it get more subtle and smoothed out?
because I came in later, like 8:30, 8:45, I felt it, probably 10 minutes in more intensely, and then it just kind of became softer. Yeah.
And so the softness is actually what you want. It's integrating and flowing with that gentleness and light. So I would say that you got deeper into it, actually.
I didn't fall asleep like I typically do when I listen to music. I go out of orbit. I do have to add one more thing. Thank you for the document. There's a lot and it needs to be sat with, but you explain things that as a latecomer to this party, I had no idea. No idea about what this thing was that we were doing. So the concrete words were very helpful. Understanding the axis more and the toroidal field a little bit more than I was aware of. So it was very concrete and very helpful. So thank
Oh,
you.
good, good. Okay, and who else came on at the same time?
It was me, Sarah Russell.
Okay.
But yeah, what I wanted to share is my understanding is because I was not able to participate last Monday night, but for about a year I've been trying to use telepathy with people. So the way I am understanding what you're saying is like if I wanted to be in telepathy with you, I'm not sitting down and then sending my energy out to you. Like, oh, I'm trying to connect with Sarah. And I think that's what I used to do. And then I had an experience in the fall with one of my athletes where I was just in a really grounded state. Like I had just done my morning meditation and I had no expectation of anything. And then this athlete popped in to communicate with me. And I wasn't reaching out to the athlete, and it was really beautiful. So like what I'm gathering is like we're just grounding, connecting without the intention of trying to connect with someone else.
Right. That's huge. And you work with a special population that is not necessarily ingrained in the culture exactly like everyone else. So
Right.
that really facilitated that connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say regarding the document too is I've been very into the telepathy tapes since they came out. And one thing that I was, was concerning to me in season one is when the parents would talk about how their autistic child could recant what they did the whole day. Like when they got home, they could say, exactly where they were, who they interacted with. And I thought, oh, geez, that feels like a violation of sovereignty to me. Not that anyone had anything to hide necessarily, but I think the document, I wouldn't have thought of needing that code of ethics, but having it was like, it was really like a relief and an aha moment of like, oh yeah, this is really important. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, we do a lot of invasive energy stuff with our thoughts and even and with our energy and with our emotions. Just being in a bad mood could spread to the whole group here. One person being in a upset or angry could actually spread to the whole group once you're in resonance with each other. And so, as we move into this more expanded state, we really have to become aware of what we're radiating and what our frequency is. And it's not meant, it, please don't take this in the cultural framework to anyone here. It's not meant that you're doing something wrong. Everyone's learning how to enter and live in this new earth space. And in the old paradigm, it was totally natural to be in that horizontal connection and mentally influencing people and manipulating with thought, emotion, and energy. That was all everyday stuff. But now we're entering a new state of consciousness, and we're having to learn what this more expanded sense of communication is and what the ethics of that are, and having to become very responsible for our own gentleness, our own kindness to ourselves, so that we radiate that to our surroundings. So you're given complete permission to be kind and gentle and loving with yourself on behalf of humanity and all of nature and Mother Earth. So be careful of how you interpret this in the old paradigm way and allow yourself to hear this, that you're learning a new style of communication. It's like learning a new language and being able to sense more subtly what is really happening on all levels of communication. So I can actually feel everyone in the group. You guys come wafting across me at different times. And you know, I've lived in this paradigm all my life, so I'm very aware of it. And it takes a lot of grounding and a lot of being able to center in your own heart and embodiment, because there's a lot of stuff floating out there that you don't want to feel, you don't want to get attached to, you don't want it to enter your being. And so when I say there's going to be this big steep step up with this equinox, we're really shifting into this new earth space. And the subtle senses are going to awaken even more. And that is what requires this attention to the ethics. And it's a topic I've always avoided because I didn't want to, I didn't know if it could be heard in the way that it's meant. But in the new earth realm, everything's transparent. You can't hide anything. And you have to be compassionate enough to not judge what becomes visible and to allow other people to have their sovereignty. And be able to stay in your center strongly enough that even though you know or can sense everything telepathically, that person still has their sovereignty. And you don't want to be eavesdropping in it in a judgmental way. So this is, it's a big practice. What's some response to this?
Well, I'll share, Sarah. This is Tracy. Makes me think of something that I wrote on the blog that has been something that's been coming up for me, which is I feel like my baby empath self was used to merging with energy and kind of checking the air, or so to speak, with like little tentacles. And now I'm really being guided to come back to my center and find the truth of my energy there, because what I'm detecting within myself now is a new foundation, and it's of peace and calm. And it's like, I'm so used to, it's almost like a knee jerk reaction. It's like, I get maybe a little flustered and then I put those tentacles out looking for outer safety. It's like such a, habit, I guess. And it's like I'm really being made aware that that's not how to do it going forward. It's really, you have the safety, you have the centered place. You just have to remember it's there and just keep coming internally. So for me, it's really like building that muscle and memory of when I catch myself to say, okay, like you said, the compassion, the acknowledgement that that's a pattern that needs to be gently adjusted. But it's interesting now that that internal sense of myself is getting much more stronger, I would say, than the need to go out externally, if that makes sense.
Sure, that's beautifully said, Tracy, and a
Thank you.
beautiful practice. And I'm very happy for you
Thank you.
that you're experiencing that. And that's the practice. It's a practice over time, practice, practice, practice of returning. And so you're learning for yourself about it through yourself.
Yeah, it just honestly, it was. I had a morning where I hadn't properly grounded, and I went out and to a park with my husband, and I'm like, oh my God, why is my energy so chaotic? It's like a swirling tornado in there. And I'm like, what's going on within me? And then I came home and I sat outside and I properly, came into myself, and I was like, oh, I'm very calm and collect. It's not my energy. I went out. I wasn't grounded, so I was picking up everything around me, and I thought that it was my energy. So that in itself was the amazing teaching. I was like kind of dumbfounded, because when I actually checked in with my own, I came in, it was like, oh, everything here is great. So that
So
was such
remember,
a good teaching for me.
What I said, that you can't, no one can trust your thoughts, your feelings,
Yes,
even your bodily
yes,
sensations, unless you're
yes,
grounded. You
yes. So
just
that was a
can't
good
trust it.
lesson for me.
Good. Excellent. Very good. Okay, anyone else? Okay. And I think I shared our pelican rescue last year, that video. I think, do some of you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It
So
was beautiful.
we were at the back at the same beach in Mexico, and we ended up rescuing a seagull this time. I don't know. I think it's Ken's energy. But there was a seagull that had gotten buried in the bank where the sand kind of rises up after the tide goes out, and there's like a 2 foot drop. And this poor seagull was buried in the sand with just his little head sticking out. And when we're walking on the beach, I pick up plastic. And so I saw a little piece of plastic sticking out of the sand, and I pulled on it. It turned out to be a whole plastic bag. And then I started walking, and Ken said, "Look." And right next to where the plastic bag was this little head of a seagull sticking out of the sand, and it couldn't move. It was totally buried in the sand and seaweed. And so we moved all the sand away from it to start to free it up. And then Ken went and got a towel because he wanted to nip at us, even though he couldn't do anything else. And Ken got a towel and was able to, wrap him up in the towel and take him up onto the beach. And there's a reason I'm telling you this. Personnel from the hotel came down and said that they would take the bird, and that this hotel chain, which was a Mexican chain, had a rehab facility at a neighboring resort. And for those of you that came to Ishpuha with us, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. This was a mini Ishpuha. And so we were afraid that they were just going to take the bird and dump him in the trash or something. And so they took him into the office in the hotel, and we had them send us a picture of him in the office. So we went to visit him in the office. And they said that the people from the rehab center were going to come and get the bird. And Ken took video of them coming to get the bird. They came in, it was a veterinarian ambulance. So imagine one of our EMS trucks here, that size, as a veterinarian ambulance. And they had a box, and they put the bird in the box, and they carried it, and they secured it in the ambulance. Two guys that looked just like EMS guys that would come in, and if you called 911. They were very kind, very gentle. And then they took it back to the vet clinic, and then they sent us a picture and explained to us that the bird had very badly damaged legs, but that they were going to take care of it. And I have never seen something like a corporate structure. I mean, this is a hotel chain that has, like 15 hotels and, like a Marriott or something, but that they took all that care to take care of this seagull. It was so touching. And Ken will make a little video out of the pictures that we took. But it was so heartening to see. So now 2 years in a row we have rescued birds in dire straits. And it was just really beautiful to see how they took care of him. So it just was a heartening story in this world, the crazy world that we're living in. So, okay. Anything else that anyone would like to say? So take a moment to settle into the beginning of your grounding. And many of you are already centered. And we greet Mother Earth silently, energetically, allowing our heart to silently greet her heart. And sense that. It's a very subtle sense. Again, beyond words. Impatiently, slowly, kindly, allow yourself to settle into the base of your spine, into your seat, drawing and collecting your energies back. So, by drawing your attention into that root area, it automatically starts drawing all your energy back in that you have put outward. So it gives it a point to come back to. And let yourself breathe into that. Let it waft back, not forcing it, but gently, kindly making space, setting up that beacon at the root for it to return to. And you're sensing that, you're not thinking it. And enjoy this. And maybe there's a little enlivening that happens, or a happiness for returning, or a peacefulness of settling. And every time we greet Mother Earth, it can be a fresh, new, different experience. It's a different time, it's a different day, it's a different moment in the year calendar, the rotation of the Earth around the sun. Every moment is different. And your connection to Mother Earth can be a fresh experience every single time. Doesn't have to be the same. And it doesn't have to be intense. And if it helps to think about a place in nature that you'd love to be, you can bring that to the foreground. Helps you feel the sacredness and connection. See, now with each person doing this for themselves, the axis for the circle has formed and activated. So the greater consciousness is starting to activate. And sense that maybe downward pull, the weightedness downward, and maybe an upliftment upward where the circulation is starting to move and become dynamic. And then we come down to the calf muscles and invite them to soften and release. And I'm going to say that with the way our culture is, the moment you interact with the culture, your calf muscles get tight. It's just a given. So remembering to invite that softening of the calf muscles has to happen all the time. There you go. So as we each ground and activate that connection with Mother Earth, the ceremony starts forming. The sacred circle starts forming. And the axis is the first evidence of enough clearing and enough settling. And then the circle starts to gather visibility as we clear and connect with more expanded states of consciousness. Now feel your feet and the chakras on the soles of the feet underneath the arches. And let your energy flow downward. And it's as if you're starting to inhabit your entire body. Your consciousness is flowing in you all the way through. And it actually starts in the sun, flows into you from above. And when we open up the channels to the earth, it begins flowing all the way downward into the earth and circulating between the earth and the sun. And the evidence that you're actually doing this is that you start to relax. You don't have to be completely relaxed. It's the beginning of relaxation. We're just starting to have vital energy, the living energy, circulate within us, which will then allow a deeper relaxation and a deeper clearing. And it'll allow our muscles and tendons to realign into their more natural position, which helps reduce pain. And the energy sources, the organs and cellular structures. And it's an overall boost to the whole system in a synergistic way. If you feel any pressure on the top of your head or in your head at all, drop down to your feet. It means that the mind is engaged too much. And by sensing the current or the energy or knowing the way you're connected to the earth, if your feet feel rooted and in the way you know it, then you know that you are actually grounding. And let the kindness flow through you. That is your consciousness flowing through you. Don't picture anything other than being with that flow. And sit with yourself gently, kindly. Feel the kindness flowing through your muscles, tendons, and fascia. Pure loving kindness. And you're not generating it from the mind. It is the flow of Mother Earth and Father Sun through you in this greater consciousness of love. You have kindness flowing through your blood, through the arteries and the veins, in and out of the cells. Circulating in the organs. Bathing the fascia and ligaments and muscles. It's a knowing. And if you have any sense of how it should be, try to release that and experience what is happening. And we greet the spirit of the water, this stream of kindness and love. And even how you think of kindness and love is setting up an expectation. Allow this to be a new experience, something that you didn't expect. So you're not pushing love through your system. You're allowing yourself to have a new experience that is direct rather than mediated verbally. And it may not be anything like you expected. and the circle, the sphere of the ceremony is growing stronger. A higher frequency is coming in. And another higher frequency just activated. And we greet the nature spirits. I was so happy to be able to go and pick daffodils to put on the altar tonight. And feel what it feels like non-verbally to want all beings to be blessed. Feel that as an experience. We greet the spirit of the fire. The luminous flame of the soul. The fire of creation. And what does a flame feel like energetically? What is your experience? Again, it may not be what you thought or visualized. And we greet the spirit of the air. What is the breath of life? Not the breath that we feel physically, but what could be a new experience of breath? And we greet the ether, the vibrating membrane, like the skin of a drum being played, vibrating. And there is now a sacred space created so that the illuminated beings are now here and can vibrate with us. And this is the beginning of the ceremonial stage, the transformative power of the ceremony when we have vibrated to a state where the higher consciousness can join with us. And the ceremony becomes a vibrating frequency. And we become the frequency. We're starting to vibrate at the frequency of the luminous beings. We're not trying to get anything from the circle or the ceremony. We become the ceremony. A deeper cleansing occurs, a cleansing of our consciousness. And as the consciousness becomes cleansed and we vibrate at a finer frequency, the teachings become apparent. Whatever we need to know can appear to us as a knowing now. It could show up later at another time. But it's that cleansing of the consciousness that allows the teaching that each person needs at the moment to appear. And like I said, it may not appear now, but it may appear later. But it is a cleansing that allows us to know something more. And the entire sphere is becoming blazing with light. A deeper cleansing is occurring. So, coming to this state where we're able to detach from our attachment to how we think things should be. Is a stage along the spiritual path. It's a state. And so it's a state of complete detachment. And it's not detachment from desires, it's detachment from expecting things to be the way you expect them to be. It's allowing for the pure vibration and frequency of the experience without doing anything to it. And that is a state of being that from then on we can enter deeper states of being, but we have to reach this state first. Everyone's doing a beautiful job. And feel the unknown. Maybe it's peaceful. Maybe it's free from the push-pull of expectation and control. And now, if you would like. If you have someone you would like to, without any emotion or thought, place in the circle for some healing, just think of their name and then that's it. That's all you need to do. It could be more than one person, but a few. No expectation, no visualization. Just put their name in the circle. and allow their path to unfold. I want you to notice if you're trying to direct the energy with any kind of thought. Drop into allowing to releasing. Good. Okay. Very gently feel your seat. And you don't have to come back to the body. We just want to make sure that your body is included. And take a few deeper breaths. Come into your heart. Feeling your sacred nature. And dissolving into your heart. Beautiful. So the teaching tonight was about allowing space for a new experience, releasing even the subtle expectations and projections of how things should be, allowing space for a higher frequency to join with us, becoming that higher frequency, all non-verbally. So this is the practice this week. So thank you. And I'll see some of you Thursday evening and some of you over the weekend. So many blessings.